We hear the word of God this morning from the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Judges 2, 6 to 15. It's found on page 234 in the church Bible. Now, under the leadership of Joshua, the children of Israel had been able to enter and take possession of the promised land. Remember, finally, after so many years, they were able to come into the land that the Lord had promised to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, in the opening chapters of Judges, it's very clear that even though Israel is now in the land at last, things are really not going as they ought to be. Now, our passage this morning picks up the story from back in Joshua chapter 24, the very last chapter of Joshua. Back in Joshua chapter 24, we're told of how Joshua, having led the people into the land, assembled the congregation of Israel to renew the covenant and to exhort the people to remain faithful to the Lord. That's where Joshua famously said, "Choose this day whom you will serve." And the people all responded to Joshua by affirming that they would indeed serve the Lord. They said, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." Well, now we pick up in Judges 2, and here we learn about what happened to Israel after this. How did it go for Israel in the years that followed? How did it go for them after the death of Joshua and the generation of Joshua? The text again is Judges 2, 6 to 15. We hear now the word of God. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our holy and gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, which is given for our instruction and for building us up in the faith of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit that we might learn from the message that is presented here and that we might live accordingly for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, what we see in our passage this morning is that the children of Israel forgot. That's basically a summary of the passage this morning. The children of Israel forgot. You'll notice at the very beginning of the passage, we're told that the children of Israel served the Lord faithfully during the time of Joshua. Again, verse 7, it says, "The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel." In other words, that first generation that entered the land under Joshua and the elders who served with Joshua remained faithful to the Lord. The people served the Lord. They did not worship the idols of the nations. They worshiped the Lord alone and they remained faithful to the covenant that God had established with them. But then what happened? Verse 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, That is, after that whole generation had died, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. A new generation came along that did not know the Lord. Those who had been children or who had not yet been born during the time of Joshua, they grew up. And that new generation did not know the Lord. They did not know the covenant. They did not know all the things that the Lord had done for his people, Israel. So in other words, the whole nation basically forgot. And instead of worshiping the Lord and holding fast to his covenant, the people went after the gods of the nations and served them. There would have been certainly some faithful people among the children of Israel, but as a nation collectively, they forgot. And they served the gods of the nations around them. Remember all those pagan nations that the children of Israel were supposed to drive out of the land, but which they didn't completely drive out of the land. The children of Israel turned to their gods. As we read in verse 11, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. In other words, they turned from the Lord and worshiped the idols of the Canaanites, the idols of the other peoples around them. They forgot. Now, were things supposed to go this way? No, what was supposed to happen to Israel? The children of Israel were to teach their children about the Lord and about all that the Lord had commanded of his people and about all that the Lord had done for his people. That was absolutely crucial and fundamental for Israel. They were to teach the word of God. They were to remember the word of God and teach the word of God. They were to tell their children of all the great things that the Lord had done for them. Listen to this instruction Moses gives to the children or to the people in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So what's Moses saying here? He's saying, love the Lord, love his word. It's to be everywhere. You're to have it all around you, and teach that word to your children. Impress these things, he says. Impress them on your children. Or listen to what Moses said to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 12. Here he's giving instructions about the Passover. Remember, every year Israel was to celebrate the Passover meal in order to remember how God had delivered them from their slavery and bondage in Egypt. Here's what Moses says, "And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" Israel was to remember. They were to remember what God had done for them, and they were to tell their children about what God had done for them. When they celebrated the Passover, they were to teach their children in the hope that their children would then grow up knowing about these things and trusting in the Lord. Parents were to say to their children, "Here's what this means. This is the Passover. When the Lord delivered us from Egypt, he destroyed the Egyptians, but he passed over our homes." And they would tell them, "This is what this meal is about. This meal reminds us of how the Lord saved us, his people, through the blood of that lamb, and how he brought us out of Egypt. This meal commemorates our salvation from Egypt." Parents were to tell their children the ways of the Lord. They were to teach his word. They were to tell of his mighty works. Listen to Psalm 78. It says this, "We will not hide them from their descent. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. So that was how it was supposed to be in Israel. The people were to remember the Lord, they were to remember his covenant, they were to remember his works, and they were to teach their children all that the Lord had done for Israel in the hope that their children would then grow up trusting the Lord and remembering his mighty works. And then the hope was that those children would then teach their children. But again, as we see in the passage, that's not what happened at all. A new generation who did not know the Lord and did not know what he had done for Israel came up. And this generation went and served the Baals. The Baals, again, the false gods of the Canaanites. They worshiped the Baals instead of serving the Lord alone. They forgot. And it was great sin for Israel. That's clear in the passage. This was great sin. Remember, in the Bible, forgetfulness can be sin. You know, think of this situation. You have a parent who tells their child, please go clean your room. A couple hours later, the parent comes into the room, checks on things. Nothing's been done. The parent then says to the child, what happened? I told you that you were supposed to clean up your room. The child says to the parent, oh, I forgot. Does that make it okay? No, a child is not to forget the instruction of the parents. You know, it's one thing for a child to forget where they place something. It's another thing to forget the instruction that their mother or father has given to them. Forgetting is not a good excuse. Forgetting in this instance is disobedience. There are some things that we are simply not allowed to forget. And likewise, Israel was not to forget the instruction of the Lord. They were not to forget his word. They were not to forget his mighty deeds. They were not to forget the Lord and turn away from him. However, throughout the Bible, we see that this was a huge problem for them. As we read through the Old Testament, we read of this very thing happening over and over again. For example, in Judges chapter 3, it says, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asheroth. Or listen to 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is Samuel speaking to Israel and reminding them of their sinful past. He says this, after Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. Or listen to Psalm 106. In Psalm 106, we have a psalm that recalls how the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. But in verse 13, it says, but they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. Or the prophet Hosea. Here in Hosea, we hear the Lord condemning Israel. The Lord says, and I will punish her for her feast days of the Baals when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord. In the Bible, one of the great sins of the people of God is forgetfulness. Now, I know we may hear that word forget, and we might think, well, that doesn't sound like such a big deal. After all, everybody forgets something one time or another. It's very, very possible that we all forgot something this past week. It was just a mistake. It wasn't a big deal. However, as we've seen, the kind of forgetfulness that the Bible is speaking about is a very big deal. This is more than a simple lapse in memory. This is about fundamentally unfaithfulness to the Lord. One of the worst things that God's people can do in the Bible is forget. It's great sin when the Lord's people forget the Lord and forget what he has done, and then in their forgetfulness turn away from him. The Bible presents this really as grievous sin. And it happened throughout much of Israel's history. Indeed, it has happened again and again in church history. And it's what happened to Israel in the text this morning. The children of Israel forgot. And what was the result of this? What were the consequences of their forgetting? What were the consequences? Were there consequences for it? Well, there certainly were. There were consequences. The Lord brought judgment on the people. That's what happens in the Bible when the Lord's people forget him. The Lord brings judgment upon them. Listen again to verses 14 and 15. It says, in his anger. Notice that. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to the raiders and plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. How did forgetting the Lord work out for Israel? It did not work out well for them at all. God brought judgment upon them just as he said he would in the law of Moses. He gave them into the hands of their enemies. Does the Lord judge those who walk away from his covenant and from his word? He does. Does he judge those who forget and turn away and choose to go a different way? He does. Does he judge churches that forget him and reject his word? Yes. Think of our Lord's warnings to the churches at the beginning of the book of Revelation and of how he warns them of judgment if they do not repent and return to him. Now, God is also merciful to his people. And as we go on in our passage, in the passage here in Judges, we find that God was merciful to the people, and he raised up judges eventually to deliver them. The people repented, and God raised up judges to deliver them. But then afterwards, what happened? They forgot again, and the cycle went on, and God would bring judgments upon them and then deliver them. But the Lord does judge those who forget him. It's not okay to turn from the Lord. It was not acceptable for Israel. It's not acceptable today in the church. We're not to turn from the Lord, whose name we bear and into whose name we have been baptized. We're not to abandon the covenant that the Lord has established with us, to go after the idols of our own day, whatever those idols might be that draw people away from the Lord. When people do that, when people forget the Lord, when the church forgets the Lord and his ways, it is grave sin. We're not to forget. Rather, we are to remember. We are to remember. We are to remember our God. We are to remember his word and instruction to us. We are to remember and celebrate his wonderful works. We are to remember all that God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're to remember the cross and the resurrection. We're to remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We're to remember the promise that our Lord will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. As God's people, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are to remember. And how do we do this? Well, as we've already heard, especially in the passage from Deuteronomy 6 that I referred to earlier, one of the ways that we do this is by attending to the Word of God in our homes and by impressing that Word on our children. As parents, we're to teach about the Lord and all he has done for his people. In our homes, we are to remember the mighty works of God and the grace of God. The Lord and his Word, God's Word, it is always to be there front and center in our lives. Again, I read those words from Deuteronomy 6, which should challenge, I think, all of us. These commandments, Moses says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What a challenging word, but yet we see how important this is, how vital this is to the life of the people of God and to our homes. It is very strong language encouraging us to do this. As we go about our daily lives in our homes with our family members, we're not to forget. We are to remember the Lord. We are to remember His word and the great things He has done. In our homes, you can speak about Him. You can read about what God has done. You can pray and give thanks. You can sing and celebrate the works of God. In your homes, you can remember the Lord and all that He has done for His people. But even more than that, we remember the Lord when we gather together, as we've done today as the Church of Jesus Christ. We remember the Lord by coming and joining with the Lord's people in worship on the Lord's Day. Every Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection, we gather as the church. And in the worship service, we remember the Lord. We hear His word. We hear of what God has done. We hear of His commandments and instructions to us. We hear His promises. We hear His gospel, the gospel of His salvation in Jesus Christ. We hear and confess our Christian faith, the faith that we believe and confess together. In this gathering, we remember the great things of our God. We hear about them. We confess them. We sing about them. In worship, the church remembers. That's one of the reasons that our worship and what we do here on the Lord's Day is so vital to us. When you come to worship, you come to join with the people of God in remembering the great things of God. Together we remember. And we see this especially in the meal that we are about to celebrate together, the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, the Lord gave His people, Israel, a number of signs or sacraments that they might remember Him. Think, for example, of an event that we hear about in the book of Joshua. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land, what did the Lord have them do? He had them gather 12 stones, which they were to set up in Gilgal. Why did God have them gather up 12 stones? Well, listen to what Joshua says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 21. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. You see, God gave them a sign that they might remember how the Lord brought them into the Promised Land across the Jordan. He gave them a sign that they could speak about to their children so that their children would know and remember what God had done for them. And then, of course, there was the Passover meal that I mentioned earlier. Every year when Israel celebrated the Passover, they would remember how the Lord saved His people out of Egypt. Every year they would eat the lamb and celebrate, and they would tell their children, "This is the Lord's Passover. We were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord delivered us by His mighty hand." In the same way, the Lord Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper, the sacrament that we have here this morning. Our Lord, on the night of His betrayal, said that we are to do this in remembrance of Him. Notice our Lord instituted this meal for the purpose of remembrance. This meal of bread and wine that we observe and celebrate, it is an act of remembrance. Here at the table, the church commemorates the one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Here at the table, we remember the covenant that the Lord has made with us in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We remember that in His death, the Lord has provided for our salvation. In His death, the Lord has brought us near to God. In this meal, Jesus Christ is represented and received by us as our perfect Savior, as we take of the bread and the cup. Every time we celebrate this meal, the gospel is set before us. It's there. We see again and again that Christ has given Himself for us to be our Savior. Every time we take the bread and the cup, we're reminded that Christ has died and that He has died for me, just as surely as I eat the bread and drink from the cup. Here at the table, the church is pointed again and again to the salvation that God has given us in His Son. And as we celebrate this meal, We, like the children of Israel, can tell our children about it. We can say, here's what the table means. This is what this meal means. We were all dead in our sins. We were slaves to sin, but God has delivered us. He's delivered his people by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. God has saved his people. He has saved us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. We're not to forget. We're not to forget the cross. We're not to forget what God in his grace has done for the sake of his people. And the Lord has given us this meal so that we, his people, might not forget, but always remember Christ and him crucified. So brothers and sisters, let us remember. Let us remember when we're in our homes. Let us remember when we're with our children and our grandchildren. And let us remember when we're assembled here on the Lord's Day as the church. Let us remember as we come to the table. Let us remember the wonderful works of God. And remember God's glorious salvation in Jesus Christ. We're not to forget. We're not to turn away from this. No, may we as the church of Jesus Christ always remember. Amen. Let us pray together. O holy and gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Father, for your grace, for your love, for your salvation, of your people in your Son, Jesus Christ. Truly, O God, he is a faithful Savior. He is our only comfort in life and in death. And we pray, Father, that in our lives we would, and in our homes, we would continually remember Christ and what he has done. May we remember your word, your instructions to your people. O Lord, we pray, deliver us from the sin of forgetfulness. May we always remember you, the Lord our God, your word, and what you have done for your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.